on Cork's
Red FM. Didn't know any better, I'd say Stevie G forgot to put down the fader. Welcome to the Big Red Bench here on Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour. There's big goings on in the sporting world today. Celtic winning the Scottish League, Man City the FA Cup, Munster playing the Lions later on, and both Cork City senior sides in action today. And we're going to start there as I spoke to the Big Red Bench's and avid Cork City fan Harry Hayden earlier today to discuss all goings on in the club. All right, we're delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by our very own Harry Hayden from an Apple Green garage somewhere anyway. Harry, how are you keeping?
Not too bad, Dan, not too bad. How are you?
That's the stuff. Cork City taking on Longford Town away from home at 7:30 tonight. Unusual, we have a Saturday game first and foremost, but, well, I guess more importantly than the Saturday game, I don't know what I'm even on about. Look, it's a long day. Do you think Cork City are going to get the job done tonight?
They really should. I mean, away to Longford, it's, Longford, they come down to the cross there a few weeks ago and took Cork City a while to find the lead in that game, and Longford came back and equalised, and they needed basically this kind of scruffy equaliser, a scruffy goal from Charlie Lyons to see them over the line that day. But they should absolutely have enough for Longford, and with the recent form they've been in, Cork City, we spoke about last time we were talking about Cork City a few weeks ago how important it was kind of to make a bit of a gap between them in second place, and they made a pretty decent gap between them in second place, but those two defeats to Kerry and Cove, which were as shambolic as it gets really, have opened the door for UCD, and they've sort of narrowed that gap now down to 3 points. Now I know Cork City have two games now, but it's so important Cork City just win today. It puts a 6 point gap between them and UCD, and everyone kind of can relax a small bit, because we don't want to kind of get to like Dundalk were last year. Dundalk, they were really struggling to shake off Cove Ramblers for a lot of last year. I think it's so important Cork City just get to sort of halfway point of the season, which we're coming up to, and they've got that sort of nice gap between them and UCD where they don't have to worry about promotion, and it's sort of somewhat secure, and they can just look forward towards next season.
Is Barry Robson coming under a bit of pressure, Harry, do you think, just going off the Cork City Forum stuff I'm seeing online?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think, it's debatable whether you want to say it's warranted or not. They had such a perfect start to the league campaign. But I guess sort of any sort of defeat to Cove, and I mean, especially Kerry, which was obviously both were historic wins for Cove and Kerry. Cove's first win at the Cross and Kerry's first ever win over Cork City in any sort of senior football event. And it was a pretty brutal week for Cork versus Kerry, as obviously the actual footballers then beat us on the Sunday as well. you can say whether he came under that pressure fairly or not. He absolutely, when you do lose those two sort of games to 2 months to rivals, you will come under pressure, especially when you consider, we're not in the league we want to be. Cork City is probably one of the, whether we like it or not, probably one of the most sort of scrutinising clubs in the country because of the stature, because of the size of it. So if you do drop points, if you do fail to pick up wins, you are going to come under pressure. But I think, it was an important win against UCD, because if they hadn't won that, I really wouldn't like to think what the sort of situation would be like now going into this Longford game. That would be, three games without a win. So that win against UCD last Friday was absolutely crucial for not just the team, but Barry Robson himself as well.
The forward situation, Harry, we all know about Shawnee, but what was kind of proved over the last few weeks, if Shawnee doesn't score, well, I know Hans got a hat-trick last week, but if Shawnee's not scoring, we're struggling to put the ball in the net, and that should surely be a big worry.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, Sean McGuire is like a cheat code in the first division. You know, I think it's pretty, you know, he could be playing for pretty much any Premier Division team. I mean, there's no secret that obviously Rovers wanted in the summer, and I think if he was in that Rovers team, he'd be starting every single week. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, there is a concern because, you know, I don't have the stats in front of me, but I'd love to know kind of the percentage of goals that we scored and the percentage that Shawnee's been responsible for, because it must be over 50%, I'd assume. Like, he is such an essential cog in this team, and you would really fear for one, if he doesn't, you know, if his form does dry up or whatever, and also you would also fear if he was to pick up an injury, which, you know, look, Sean McGuire's, you know, it's no secret that he is a slightly injury-prone player. He obviously got quite a big injury last year, which is a huge reason to why Cork City struggled, I think, in the Premier Division. So that is a huge concern, because I think we just sort of assumed Rory Keating would be, you know, would be able to score goals in this level, and he's just had such a tough start to the season. And look, I know he's had a sort of tough time personally as well lately. And look, if there's anyone who can bounce back from this, it's Rory Keating, absolutely. But yeah, I think we've certainly been very reliant on Shawnee. But I think Barry Robson made a bit of an interesting switch in the last game, in that Hands was played slightly further forward. And, you know, I think the huge debate was kind of whether we'd play all three forwards and Rory Keating, Hands and Shawnee McGuire. But I think really, in reality, you can't really play all three. I think we have to sort of, you have to stick with two. And I think that's what he did against UCD. And we saw the effects of Hands, because he certainly is, I think, a bit of a poacher. He definitely knows where the back of the net is. And, you know, it was the first Dutch player to ever score a hat-trick in the League of Ireland.
1-1 for the trophy cabinet anyway.
Yeah, well, you have to take what you get in the first division, really, so...
Well, to be fair, a Munster Senior Cup anyway during the week, we'll take that one as well. Rory Keating and the Keating situation, what have you made of that, and how do we get this very talented striker back on track?
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it? Because, you know, it's always difficult when you've got a player who is as loved as Rory Keating with the Cork City fan base. But I think we just have to be a bit patient with him. I don't think, like, I've seen some fans saying we should be looking to get him out in the summer, or, you know, he's taken up too much of the wage bill and we should just have Hands and Shawnee as our strikers. But, like, just be patient with Keating. Like, we know his ability, everyone knows his ability. He's one of the best strikers in Ireland on his day. Like, he scored, what was it, 13 goals, I think, in the 2023 season, or, you know, was one of the top goal scorers in the League of Ireland in what was probably one of the worst Cork City teams of all time, which just tells you all the ability that he has. But you know, he's come back, people forget as well, he's come back from an ACL injury. You know, it's such a tough injury to come back from, and you know, just be patient with him, and I'm sure once he gets one in the back of the net, they won't stop going in.
What have you made of the season as a whole, really?
Like, it was all good basically until that draw against Bray. I would say, like, I think, you know, I think it was going positive. I think the obviously they've had a few draws. Just looking at it now, like, they drew away to Cove and drew away to Finn Harps. But look, that can happen. But, you know, they've won basically every other game at home. And then they drew to Bray, which, you know, again, was a bit of a hiccup, but you know, the sort of only stain it has been really those two defeats to Cove and Kerry. And I think the fact they also came back to back didn't help either. But overall, look, you know, we're still 3 points clear of UCD. We're 6 points clear if we win tonight, obviously, with a game in hand. So win that game in hand, which is away to Treaty, who are last in the league at the moment. That's a 9 point gap. You can't complain too much. Like, obviously, you know, fans would have wanted an unbeaten season. You know, we almost very nearly had it in 2024 under Tim Clancy. But I think every fan is just, we're just sort of sick of the first division. We just want to get out of it. And that's the most important thing. I go back to the point, it's so vital that you don't become in a bit of a dogfight with UCD or with Bray, who, you know, would have seen those results against Kerry and Colvin, would have absolutely sort of, would absolutely certainly fancy to pounce on them. And UCD, you know, they've closed that gap to now it's only 3 points, but as I said, it can go up to 9 points if City win all the games in hand. So it's just so vital, really, that they don't become in a bit of a dogfight with one of those sort of teams like UCD or Bray, because if they do, then I can see that sort of turning a bit toxic in the fan base, and there would be questions then asked of Barry Robson's ability, even if Cork City were to get promoted by, you know, 3 points or so. You'd be sort of questioning, like, you know, you look at the resources we've had compared to UCD and Bray and Wexford and teams like that. If you're sort of getting in a bit of a dogfight with them, it really does sort of question maybe your ability. and, you know, what's it going to be like in the Premier Division? Because we've seen, obviously, firsthand how competitive the Premier Division is, but we've seen now just how competitive is this year. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's so vital, Cork City build towards. And, they, you know, they should be absolutely looking, I know it feels, you know, oblivious to say we should be looking forward to Premier Division, but, you know, you have to. And there should be look, you know, they should be looking at the way Dundalk have been promoted this year. You see how Dundalk are doing so well in the Premier Division. You know, we should be looking at why can't that be us next year? So yeah, everything really in this year just has to be built towards the Premier Division. And yeah, you just can't get in a dogfight, really. That's the biggest thing I'd say.
Well, look, our owner will have to get out the wallet if we're going to compete next year in Premier Division. If we're hopefully there, I'm sure he will be. I'm sure he will be. Look, we were in the news. Probably the only time we'll be in the national news all year was, of course, for leaving Twitter during the week. Well, what have you made of what have you made of that, Harry?
I mean, it's a brave decision. Like it's a tough one, isn't it? Because I can see the reasons behind it, and I think Aaron Howie, you know, he's the social media guy at Cork City, spoke really well about it on the Neil Prendeville show during the week, and you can absolutely see the reason behind it. Like, you know, Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, is not the platform it used to be. Like it's a pretty toxic platform at times, and you know, it's obviously very unregulated compared to whatever Instagram and Facebook is, but it's still a huge brave decision in that Twitter's a massive part of the League of Ireland, Joe. Even if I don't make it to too many games, Twitter is always the first place I check.
It's the biggest platform for sport and sport accounts.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, even like, you know, updates and stuff like that. You know, the Twitter was so frequent in giving you what was happening in the game, chances and stuff, and you can't really do that on any other platform, really. So it's a brave decision in that sense. Like, yeah, I mean, they've made a lot of publicity this week in terms of not doing it, and I think, you know, I think a few German clubs have done it. I've heard, but it's still a brave decision that, you know, Twitter is such a huge platform, and it's so essential to not just, you know, the senior team, but you know stuff like, you know, the academy results and stuff. They'd be more frequently updated on Twitter. Like, will it translate over to Instagram and Facebook? I'm not completely sure. Like, I'm split on it because I can see the reasoning behind it, but it's just a brave decision. And yeah, I do wonder, you know, if Cork City were to have an ownership change in the next year or so, which is probably looking quite unlikely, would that decision be reversed? I'm not sure.
We'll have to wait and see that one. I suppose the thing is, it sounded so final that, you know, there is no coming back whatsoever. Yeah. I probably would have left it a bit more open-ended myself, but look, that's just me and easy to say in hindsight. But it kind of, the straw that broke the camel's back on it, really. And I know Twitter is a cesspit at the best of times, but was the release of our third kit in support of the LGBT community here in Cork, the new kit, a lovely kit, I will actually say. But just the abuse off the back of that was seemingly the straw that broke the camel's back. And it's well and good saying that there are all accounts from the UK and America hating on it and it taking their right-wing stance. But there was an awful lot of Cork City fans retweeting and posting about it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose that's one of the things about Twitter, you know, and social media in general, it's so anonymous. And like, yeah, look, as you said, it's all easy and well saying it's people not from Cork and it's outside of Cork and it's bots and stuff. And this is just, you know, the world that Elon Musk has created on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. But you know, there is people from Cork who are commenting on it. And, you know, as you said, it did sort of touch into that sort of right wing base, maybe that is in Ireland and certainly in football Twitter. It's a tough one in that you can see. I mean, yeah, if you're to look, when you look at the replies to that, and you look at what was such a positive, you know, kit and such a brilliant cause, obviously, and you can't give out about the kit or anything like that. It's perfect. It's something that the club should be doing more of, probably. It reaches out into the community and stuff, and I mean, we've seen it before with other teams as well have done that. But when you see the reaction it got, you can sort of maybe side with the club, but as you said, it's a tough one because it's so essential in sports, it feels, especially sports marketing and stuff like that. So will the club, you know, feel the repercussions in the next year? I mean, we'll only have to wait and see, really.
The last one, we'll end on a positive note. Derek Collin coming back into the women's set. Oh, well, Liam Kearney appointed as director of football first and foremost there. What a huge appointment that is. But seemingly the first appointment that then he's made as director of football is getting Derry Coughlan as women's team manager.
Yeah, I don't think there could have been a more positive appointment in Derek. Obviously, a guy who just knows the club inside out. And, you know, Liam Kearney, we've gone through quite a lot of rubbish in the last few years as Cork City fans. And, you can make what you want to say about the Dermot Usher ownership. And yeah, I don't think it's you have to say, taking it at face value, it's not worked out so far. But appointing Liam Kearney as the director of football, I think, is a start. You know, he's someone who obviously knows, he knows the club inside out. He knows that he's obviously a City legend. He's played for, the club in numerous stints, obviously. And what he was doing at the academy can't be knocked, when you consider the amount of academy players we've produced over the last few years. And even during what has been obviously a pretty tough time for the club, we've still managed to produce talents like, Jane Newmay, Jake O'Brien, so many other guys, Carl Heffernan, like loads of different guys who've gone on and made good money for the club. Derek Coughlan, it's an exciting appointment, and it's something that the women's team definitely need because they've had a rough few years. I think Liam Kearney did quite well to sort of steady the ship even themselves. I was watching their last two games, and I thought there was much improved performances in both them. And I think as well, probably a nice thing, there won't be that much pressure on him in that, I think probably the expectation will be just to improve performances, won't be kind of to, it won't be to shoot them off the league within this season. But it's a positive appointment, and it's something that the women's side and in general, I think Cork City need, because I think something you could say about Dermot Usher's ownership, like, I think for me, I think it's quite clear he definitely cares about the club, but I think the biggest criticism I'd say about him is that his appointment of people in football positions has been atrocious. I mean, we saw the appointment of Jernash, which was a disaster. But the appointment of Liam Kearney, director of football, obviously Liam Kearney now appointing Derek Coughlan, is a real positive, and it's something I think we can get a small bit excited for. And hopefully, brighter times in the future.
Absolutely, Harry. Hopefully, we're ending it on a happy one. What's the final score for City Longford tonight?
Like Longford, Bishopsgate, it's never the easiest place to play. It's
Harry.
It's Longford, honestly.
These are Longford we're talking on here, man.
Go on. City. I'm going to say City 3-1, I'd say. I think I'm going to go with a double from Hans again. And I'm going to go Keating. I think Keating will come off the bench and will finally end his duct.
Come on, Harry. Thanks a million for coming on. Appreciate it. Harry Hayden of the Big Red Bench.
No worries, Dan. Cheers.
All right, fair play to Harry for coming on. And I believe there's a screening of the game in Collins, just at the bottom of Douglas Street there, as well as the Arc Cinema Middleton, and that one being run by the club. 7:30 kickoff tonight if you want to get down to one of those venues to watch the game. Let's hear now from Cork City manager Barry Robson, who was speaking to the media ahead of City's clash with Longford.
Sure. When you look back, it was actually the Cove game. We're just as good. We just didn't take our chances. Chances. We've had some good performances where we've put, in the three games, we've put four past teams. So, we performed well. We were in total control of the game. Thought we got stronger as the game went on. But we knew that. We know we've got that, and as we have been doing that. But as I said, sometimes you've got to give other teams credit. And they've hit us with a sucker punch, or broke up the pitch and scored a goal, and sometimes it's hard to contend with when we're trying to control games so much. So, listen, we know it's difficult, but we played well, but we just want to carry on and keep performing as well as we can.
Yeah, I suppose UCD might have suited you because they come up and play, don't they?
It's the same conversation we have all the time, the teams are sitting in, but it's our responsibility to go break teams down, which we have done in a lot of games, I think. So we've scored four past three teams and another three past the teams, so we have been scoring goals. We probably, as I said, we're never satisfied, we want to do better. So listen, the most important thing is trying to win football matches, and we know teams will make it difficult for us, but as I said, and the one thing I said to the players today, we probably need to get a bit more from our set plays, so that comes from our defenders. Our lot of first contacts have been really good. I still think we could add a few more goals. He's doing fine. I think he's going along nicely, and he's wanting to do well, he wants to improve, he wants to get better, just like all the players are. So yeah, it's long may that continue and keep the hard work up, and it's something that we want Fitzy, Kelly and Shawnee, we want them all to Hans and Keats, we want them all to be scoring as many goals as we can. We're trying to make as many chances as we can for them, but without them getting uptight about it. But listen, they've all been getting good areas, and the more they do that, the more chances they're going to, the more likely we'll score more goals. Yeah, I think so, and it'll be the same again. I knew that from when we first came in. Teams are organised, that this league's getting better and better and better. It's going to be better next year, the year after. It's the same everywhere in football. The teams are more structured, better managers, better coached, younger, fitter players. It's a tough old league, and we just have to make sure that we keep performing as well as we can. And as I said, we've got to keep a clean sheet as well. We've been a bit unfortunate. We've lost a couple of goals that's went against us, but there's also been a couple of things we could have done better with as well. But actually, we're looking for continuous improvement all the time. That's what we're trying to do as a coaching staff here, and we want to make our players better. And you can see a lot of that sometimes, but as I said, there's still stuff to work on. Well, as you've seen, the suspensions and niggles we've had over the last few while, we've missed a few players, but you know, everybody's we're hoping to have a fully fit squad to pick from. Credit to Cullum and Greg, I think they did terrifically well in the younger players. I always saw the competition as a big competition, and I think it's always a great way for the to put that pressure on the young players, right? How can you handle it? And they've done that terrifically well. I think the performance they put in against Kerry, and it was a lot of first team players, and then to go and win that against men the other night as well. So I feel it's an important cup for them. And listen, I was there the night. I enjoyed watching it. I was so pleased for all the staff and all the players, and they deserve to win it.
Sticking with football for a second, and the Irish team facing Granada in Spain in their friendly, they're drawing nil all at half time, but a fairly experimental Irish side, so I wouldn't worry too much on that one. Also forgot to mention that the women's team, they drew with DLR Waves earlier today in their clash where it ended 1-1. Derek Collin, that was his first game in charge of the women's side, so plenty of positives coming in to the women's team at Cork City at the moment to turn it around and hopefully come up from the bottom of the table. Time to drive it on now and hear from City player Harry Nevin ahead of the game tonight.
Yeah, no, I think all season we've been playing really well. We had a bit of a blip there, but even against Cove, I thought we played very well as a team. Kerry game probably weren't the best, but we picked it up and got a result. As a collective, yeah, I thought everything was good. We pressed well, we took our chances and we scored, and I think that's what was the difference. We took our chances, just did my bit. We knew we needed a good performance and just took my chances when I couldn't, went forward, and it paid off. Of course, yeah, I need to try to help out, obviously, in the defensive side of things and attacking side of things, and it just paid off this time, so hopefully we keep going. We got a shot, we scored a penalty here. But up there would be tough. Away from home is always going to be tough because teams will try and make things difficult for us, but we just got to go up there and get a result. Of course, yeah, teams, everyone's fit. When you get your chance, you've got to take it and hopefully try to stay in the team. That's what I'm going to do. Just, I've been given a chance now, and need to make the most of it. I think just keep doing what we're doing. Have the belief that we will score. Like, look at the players we have up at the top end of the pitch. Like, we will score. So we just need to keep plucking away at it. Like,
short and sweet. Go on, Harry. Here in Munster now, preview. And here was Roy O'Hagan chatting with Fiona Hayes and Alan Quinlan about Munster's game with the Lions tonight. And what a big game it is. Victory will guarantee them Champions Cup rugby next season. That gets underway quarter to eight.
Look, it's a big game for Munster, possibly even season defining. And Quinny, and we spoke about the fire and the motivation that Munster lacked last Saturday. If they don't have that this Saturday, it means trouble.
Yeah, it will mean trouble. I think they're playing a Lions side who've obviously they did lose last week against Leinster and the Aviva, but they caused Leinster a fair few problems, and they were really brittle and robust, and they're a hard-working side, a very physical side, which is not a surprise with them being South African. So scrum really strong, line out maul, all that kind of stuff. Mm. And their areas of concern for Munster now. Munster had no maul at the weekend and in Galway, and they're a very strong side, and probably only for the couple of recent results they were right in the mix for getting a home quarterfinal. So
yeah.
The position they find themselves in the league, being fifth, Munster 2 points behind them on 51 points. The Bulls, I think, are going to win this weekend with a bonus point. Leinster, I think, will win. So catching them, they're 6 points behind the Stormers, so they can't catch them in second. But I think Leinster and Bulls win. So even if they lose the game, the Lions, they're not like winning the game is not going to get them a home quarter final. But what it would do is winning the game would get them most probably a trip to Pretoria to play the Bulls, which they'd probably much prefer than having to come to Leinster maybe in 2 weeks' time and come back to Ireland again. They'll be very determined. They're a very physical side, and Chris Smith at 10, a really good kicker. He puts the ball in front of his pack a lot, and there's some very dangerous players and powerful players. So it's a tough game. I worry about the physicality, I think, because that's an issue at the weekend. And look, let's see if there's a response. How many times have we spoke about, getting back-to-back, kind of getting 3 or 4 games in a run where you can kind of say, geez, that was really good, and that was at a high level, and that was at a real intense level. So a big drop-off at the weekend. But the funny thing here is you'll know Friday night, you could know Friday night that they're already in Europe,
yeah,
depending on the other results, which are, Cardiff and the Stormers. If Stormers win their Ulster at home to Glasgow, what do they do with their team, given the European final the week after? Do they go all in Europe and say, well, look, we're going to try and win the final and stay fresh for next week? And then Edinburgh, Connacht. So those 3 games on Friday night, you could easily have a situation where Munster might need nothing out of the game and end up 6th or 7th. The danger for any of the teams that are in that position is ending up with 8th and Ulster winning, winning the Challenge Cup and getting bumped out of it. So let's hope they get that reaction and that they can get back on track. I think Jack Crowley coming back into the team will help them a lot. I believe he's a real possibility being back in the mix. It was concerning to see Edwin Adogbo in a sling at the weekend. Again, there's talks that he'll be somewhat involved, and hopefully will be involved the weekend, because certainly would need him. So it's back to the wall stuff, and they need to get a performance and a reaction this week. And even though we're talking about the inconsistencies, if they go out on Saturday and with the same kind of reaction and enthusiasm early on in the game, I'm telling you now, and it's not a big surprise or secret, the Lions will really fancy this, and they're a really good possession-based team. When they hold on to the ball, they're really, really efficient, and some really dangerous threats out wide. So it's one that I'd be worried about, but I expect Munster to react and get a performance, and I think they'll have enough to maybe get a result.
Well, let's hope they do. Just the squad update from Munster's Jack Crowley, Shane Daly and Edmund Adogbo will increase their training load this week. A decision on their availability will be made later in the week. Lee Barron is unavailable for selection with a neck injury. What do you want to see from Munster on Saturday, Fiona?
God, I think it's as basic as fight. A home game, defensively getting up on the line. Quinny spoke about the lines when they have possession, when they hold on to it, they're very, very good at at attacking narrow and at sucking you in with those big ball carriers to try and get that space out wide. But certainly if Munster can front up there, chop them down, bring a bit of line speed, put them under pressure, you give the Thomond Park crowd a chance to come into the game then. And I think that's what people want. They want to be involved in the game, looking at cheering on when Munster force those knock-ons, force those forward passes, or even just turn over the ball in contact. I think that's what I'd love to see, that grit, that determination in defence. I think when I found watching them this season, when they've had that, it's a lift, it's a huge lift. And then when they're attacking with ball in hand, they seem to find a little bit more space, or they look more comfortable because they know that their defence is good and the crowd is behind them, and it's lifted how they carry. And then obviously on the other side of things is the 31 missed tackles as well. They have to sort that out. You cannot have 31 missed tackles in any game, and definitely not in Thomond Park. There will be severe frustration if that's the case. But
the last away game they played was on the 31st of January, and they lost 52-17. The Bulls actually beat them at home. All the recent wins, they had 6 wins in the bounce, they were all at home. So, you know, the issues and problems they had probably at the start of the season, a lot of them were away from home. So, yeah, they'll fancy this, Fiona. They'll fancy going to Thomond Park, and they'll see a vulnerability there, and the basic stuff that you talk about have to be present for Munster this weekend.
I'd say Zebra had fancy at this stage, you know what I mean? Like, no disrespect. I think anyone coming to Thomond Park this season isn't going to fear that kind of home X factor. We haven't seen it for a full 80 minutes, so definitely, I agree with you 100%. They'll be really looking at going after them, and set piece in particular, scrum time.
Tough for an intriguing game. All right, Saturday night, 7:35 kickoff. Munster, the last URC game of the regular season. Just before we wrap up, just a couple of bits of news from around the province. Takir Abrahams, we touched on it, is going to depart. He's leaving for the Bulls. 5 tries and 25 caps. According to the Irish Independent, Munster are going to fill the NAQ slot with a tight head recruit. Quinny, how would you describe Takir Abrahams' tenure at Munster?
Yeah, lots of injuries. We saw some brilliance at times, but to be fair, it's unfortunate. We haven't seen consistency out of him, and consistency of performance, and he's struggled at times when he hasn't played for a while. And so, you know, 25 games in two years, is it? Or it's not. He's been injured a lot, so some brilliance, but look, he's a brilliant player, and he has that X factor. But I just think the way the team has probably played more, particularly this year, he hasn't got the opportunity to get ball in hand as much. And so it's no surprise that he's departing. I think there's Dermot Kilgallen has signed a new contract. Yeah. He's someone I've spoken up a lot about. I think there's a quality player there, but his confidence looks shot. So hopefully he can come true and fulfil his potential with Munster. Mark Donnelly is re-signed.
Yeah.
Again, it's a lot of these players haven't played a lot, and they haven't. And that's probably a little bit of frustration comes out of that. The fans want to see signings. They want to see, big names come true. Marius van der Merwe is the only one that's been signed that we would say is an international, and he's very powerful. He got capped by the Springboks last summer. So, look, they're in for a tricky position, and they can't, and filling those slots, trying to go out and get another tight end or whatever, I don't know what will happen, but the way forward is to try and obviously galvanise what you have, fix the problems, and try and bring some of these young players through.
Yeah, and just on Kilgallen, Fiona, 2-year deal for him until 2028. Injured start of the season. He scored 2 tries and 7 appearances so far this campaign. So hopefully he can stay injury-free and make a real impact.
Yeah, that's it. Injury-free, and I suppose getting that bit of form. And, you know, we've said it We've seen him. He has the talent. He's physical. He gets involved in games. He's a hard working winger. It's just about getting the consistent starts, be it injury or even just form. He's got to come into a type of form that I suppose you say, because Munster, when they're all fit, you're looking at Shane Daly, Nash. You know, there is a good competition. Andrew Smith had a couple of good games this year. Thacker Abrams, when he was fit, was someone who'd be in the mix as well. So, and Haley in fullback. So there, that back three, there has been a bit of competition. So I feel like as a winger, he needs to be, every time he's fit, he needs to be making that big impression and getting that start, because that will push how his form goes, how his confidence goes, because he definitely has the ability and the assets to be a really good threat on that wing. He's nice to watch.
All right, come on, Munster. Plenty to come in the second half of the show.
The Big Red Bench. Cork's Red FM.
The great thing about Atlas Butler is they do it all. Heating, cooling, plumbing. Look, I'm busy with work. I don't have time to wait around or deal with lots of people. One company, one call, and they do it all. Wonder if they'll clean out my inbox. Seriously, offer that service. Please.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The Big Red Bench.
Cork's
Red FM.
Welcome back to the Big Red Bench here on Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next 20 minutes or so now at this stage. Earlier in the week, I had the privilege of talking to Mayo footballer Padraig O'Hara to talk about his very special expedition, and he's a long way from Kirkpatrick.
Oh, the green and red Mayo, I can see it still. It's soft and craggy boglands, it's tall majestic hills, where the ocean kisses Ireland, the waves caress its shore. Oh, the feeling it came over me, stay forevermore, forever.
Padraig, a huge win, such hard work. What does this mean to you in front of the Mayo fans?
It's impossible to put it into words. Look at this place. What it means to all of us. To me, I can't even describe it. It's unbelievable. It's just the best day of my life.
We love a battle, and we always seem to put ourselves at the bottom of the hill before we go climbing it. So we knew what we needed to do. We put in the work all year. It's an outrageous squad. Everybody put in a shift, and we turned them over like we planned to.
Who knew that 5 years later, the Great Hill Mayo footballer Padraig O'Hara spoke of climbing, of beating the unstoppable juggernaut that was the Dublin team in the All-Ireland semi-final of 21, would be replaced by the very real Mount Everest, a mere 7,747 kilometres from Jones Road, Dublin, but more importantly, 7,895 kilometres from his home and his children in Ballina. It was an honour to be joined by the Mayo corner back earlier in the week as he joined me from Everest Base Camp. Training done, ready to take on the world's biggest summit, a task only dwarfed by the curse of his county's football team. In the chat, you'll hear him discuss openly about where his thoughts have led him, life regrets that have come up, the potential of death, and of course, how the green and red are faring under Andy Moran. Well, just how did one of Mayo's greatest ever end up taking on the journey of a lifetime? We hear now from Mount Everest. We hear now from Padraig O'Hara.
You obviously went on Ultimate Hell Week, what, 5 years ago, and met another guy, Jason Black, who was on it at the time, who had summited Everest and a lot of other stuff, bigger, more dangerous stuff than that, surprisingly, and kind of formed a friendship there at that stage, and had said that that was on the cards for me once I kind of got through football and stuff, and we said we'd pick it up whenever. And then about 3 years ago, we kind of picked it up then again. So kind of went from there, really. He kind of put a team together. So there's four of us over here now, and just rolled with it, really.
And will this be the first, is it the first Irish team to summit Everest in 20 years, is it?
Yeah, so there was a team before us. I'll send you the exacts. I have them wrote down just to be conscious I don't get it wrong. I think it was 97 or 93 was the first team. Then there was a team in 2003, and then there's obviously ourselves.
Were you always into hiking and mountaineering, or was it just kind of a new thing over the last few years?
No, it's always been a part of my life to some degree. Like, even looking back, actually, before the last couple of years, like, we've always done different bits and pieces. When I was working in autism services, me and a mate ran down to Cairn Toohill, went to Galtee Moor, then to Kirkpatrick to do a few bits and pieces as fundraiser. I've always spent my life in the outdoors, like be it in the river or in the sea or in the mountains. So, and it was just a dream. It was just something there that, you know yourself, you have these wild dreams and then you forget about them as you grow up. But I did say to him that time, I was like, when I get through football, I want to pick this back up. And then, as I said, when football tries kind of slow down, I hyper-focused on this then.
Was Everest always kind of a bit of a bucket list thing, or is it only a realisation now of the last while?
No, it was the only thing on the list. Like, it was like, how do I get to that? Like, some people probably spend a lot more time over the years doing different bits and pieces, but I suppose come from the elite performance background, you're used to high performance, high octane and stuff, so you're probably further up the ladder than maybe most people, probably a bit more capacity already built. So I think I was starting probably a little bit further up the ladder, and then obviously I have Jason, and then I was able to get in contact with people, like just getting the best advice, getting the best of people involved, and that allowed me to just put like a really good plan together, and then we just implemented it, and as the steps went by, all was good, everything moved in the right direction, and here we are now. Like,
what have the last few days looked like, and when's the actual date for summiting?
There is no date. Like, there's no, she's just talking to the family back at home today too, and they're like, yeah, but how long will it take you? I don't know. And when are you going to go back up the mountain? I don't know. There's none of it. It doesn't work like that. Like, we do our bits. We've done all of our work, basically. We've gone up the mountain, down the mountain, done all our rotation work, so our bodies are ready to go. And then it just depends on, like, when the lines are fully fixed, when the weather does what it wants. Like, it changes in the blink of an eye. So, realistically, inside the next 3 weeks, well, I couldn't even consider giving you a date, like...
Is there a real danger element with this? I've seen on a video you were crossing a fairly shaky looking ladder at some point over the last few days. Is that a big thought process for you?
We can't get away from it. Like, people die here every year. Like, there's no question about that. Like, in two major sections, one which you have to go through to get up onto the mountain properly, the icefall. You might have seen clips of recently, like, just two people got badly hurt there 2 days ago. It happens all the time. Like, that's when people will die, and there's just no getting away from that. And then above 8,000 meters, when you get to the top end of the mountain, that, like, anything goes wrong at all up there, it's over. You know, you're so far away from everything. So yeah, it is a reality of it. But, like, you have to look at the pros and cons of it all. In fairness, my ex-partner's been very good. She's the mother of kids, and they've kept in contact, and you can only do so much, really, kind of put their minds at ease. The wee one is four, so, well, she's going to be four in a couple of days, so she doesn't really get it, which is fine, but the 8-year-old, I suppose, is a bit more locked in. So, like, they've been great. In fairness, everybody at home has been great. Couldn't ask for more support. And it is this, look, it's a selfish thing, isn't it? Kind of know that when you're going away for 2 months, you can't. They've given me 2 months of airtime as much as I've taken 2 months away, you know? So, very conscious of that. It's a weird one that if you're not used to it, and I'm not, like, I've climbed big mountains, played big games and all that jazz, but there's a level of, I suppose, surrendering to the fact that you're not in control. Like, we've done all the training, I'm happy with that. I'm happy with my own mentality, I'm happy with the team. Like, I actually believe in the people around me. So I think we've ticked all the boxes, but it's like, you can tick all the boxes and it can still go wrong, and you just have to be okay with that. Like, the weather can screw everything up, the mountain can, like, it can do whatever it wants, really. You're at the mercy of the mountain and nature and luck, so you kind of just have to get over that. It's kind of a hard thing to do, to be honest.
Have you allowed yourself to imagine what it would be like to climb the summit and be at the top of the world?
Yeah, done a good bit of that work with the psychologist Karen Weeks before he left, because you'd be afraid of losing control in situations like that, or getting too emotional. Try not to think about it too much, but you can't not think about what that experience would be like. To be honest, over the last few weeks, I don't know if there's a thing I haven't thought about, like, of it all going right, of it all going wrong, of the worst possible outcomes, the best outcomes, the, you name it. You have so much time, like, we're here 5 weeks now, like, so you have a lot of time in your own head, and you can imagine where that takes you, to brilliant places, to beautiful places, and to the depths of your own soul too, like, to some dark, dark places. You kind of love yourself and hate yourself all in the one spin there sometimes.
And where are you sitting at the moment?
Actually really good. I feel like as the days have progressed, my head has probably got a little bit better. I have had a couple of really rough nights and moments of, like, I don't know, some stuff has come back that you maybe haven't thought about before. Some things in life that maybe you got wrong, or you, I don't know, there's been a lot of personal stuff that's cropped up that I kind of had to put back in the box, to be honest. I'm not in a space to deal with it, but I feel like coming home, I will have to probably explore a few bits and pieces. But in regards to performance, I couldn't feel better. Like, we're only down off Everest. We were up at Camp 2. I'm feeling, like, really, really good. Like, I'm really looking forward to it. This is the business end. This is what you come for. This is what you've dreamed of. Like, this is what you've trained for years for. Like, so I'm actually in a really good headspace when it comes to that.
Is there similarities between summoning Everest and playing a match in Croker without some of the obvious reasons that could go wrong?
Funny enough, I was actually giving this a bit of thought, you know that, because obviously, as I said, some things have been coming back at me, and some of those have been football related, and I was kind of trying to, like, in a sense there is, like, because you train all year for a county final or an All-Ireland final or for the big day in Croker, and then that day comes and it's like a tiny window, do you know what I mean? It's 60 minutes over the space of a year. And, like, I suppose this is kind of the same in a sense of, like, you're looking at 3 years of preparation for what's essentially going to boil down to a couple of days, you know? The only thing is, you don't know where the f***ing goalposts are, because the game is on Sunday. But I don't know when this game is, like, you haven't a clue. And you have to be okay, again, you have to be okay with the fact that you just don't know when the game is on. And you'll be told tomorrow that it's, like, it changes every single day. So there's similarities and there's, you know, significant differences too.
And what's the support been like from back home? I'm sure a lot of interest in the media anyway, for our own selfish reasons, obviously. But I hope the wider Irish public are behind you as well.
Yeah. Do you know what? The response from home has been unreal, to be honest. Like, Jason is from Donegal. So you know what Donegal are like. You know what Ulster are like. Adam is from Waterford. We've all the gang over there. And Aina's from Dublin. So you've got, like, your four provinces covered. So, yeah, it's drummed up a lot of attention, which is, do you know what? It's really nice. It's nice to, as you can see behind me, actually, the tricolour is flying there. It's nice to go in under the banner together and bring everybody along. Like, it's been amazing. There's been families sending messages, you know, that the kids sit down and watch this stuff every day. And even me and Jason were getting a video together today for one of my little girls' primary school. And he said to me, do you know, there's one child in that classroom that'll see that, that might change their whole trajectory. You know, there might be another kid who steps up to come and do something like this. Or you don't know the implication, but you do know that it's having a positive effect. I'm sure. Isn't that enough? Like,
Well, I was just thinking there, it's like, it's probably the last thing on your mind now, but the Rossi still found a way to give out about you and have a go at Mayo after last week.
Oh man, I funny enough, right, I called them out before the game then, as you've probably seen on social media, saying it'd be awful to be a Roscommon supporter on Sunday. But even a couple of weeks before that, obviously I'm doing the bit with GAA Plus, so I've been watching football a lot closer than I have when I was playing it. And I said it maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago, Roscommon are a serious outfit. Like, I actually backed them to win Connacht this year because their club scene has been so strong. Like, I was on the receiving end of a good hammering on the club scene. They're going too well not to put it all together at a county level. So as much as in all I like the messing and the jibing, like, I'm not one bit surprised by Roscommon. I am surprised by Monaghan, but not by Roscommon.
Do Mayo need to do a bit more now, or is it just one swallow doesn't make a summer? Like, do you know what I mean? Can they bounce back, and do you think they will?
I really think, to be honest, that the Nestor Cup and Connacht was the all important target for Mayo. They really needed to solidify something there. I don't think the team is strong enough at the moment to compete for in the All-Ireland series. Like, they might pull out a big performance somewhere. They've got some exciting players. They'll always do a job somewhere along the lines, but they'll be beaten by one of the stronger teams, I think, as it goes along. But yeah, look, they're only getting started too, really, under Andy. So I don't think, look, it's not the end of the world. You just don't like getting bet by Roscommon, do you?
What are you expecting from, is the hardest thing going to be on Everest?
Obviously the tail end days are going to be really, really difficult. Some days are going to be unbelievably difficult. You're looking at, you know, 12, 14, 16 hours, whatever it is, of just hard graft where you can bloody barely breathe up there. You just need to get on with it. But honestly, the patience has been the hardest part of it, and I think it'll continue to be the hardest part. It's, as I said, the goalposts are always getting moved on you. And maybe, I think we take it for granted in our normal lives, kind of things are structured and they're in place and you know where you're going and you know what time training is or what time you're working, or, you know, there's a bit of structure. Whereas I said, over here, you have to surrender all of that and just accept it. You're not in control. So patience has been a pretty tough part of this expedition, and just being okay, sitting in that.
Legend Padraig O'Hara, best to him and his team on that expedition. We move it on now to the bit of hurling, and Tip and Clare take to the field at FBD Semple Stadium in a must-win Munster Senior Hurling Championship clash. It doesn't get much better than this, lads. Here's with the details, Stephen Gleeson.
There's a hint of knockout hurling in the air around Turles, with Tipperary and Clare both in need of a win this evening in round 4 of the Munster Championship. Tip made 2 changes from last time out, with Craig Morgan in for Seamus Kennedy in defence and Jason Ford starting in attack in place of Sam O'Farrell. Clare have listed the same team from the Limerick game, but they may make changes just before throw-in, so it'll be interesting to see if there is a change there to be made in attack in particular, where they faltered last time out. Tony Kelly and Shane O'Donnell are two that they look to turn the tide in attack. They're on 2 points so far. Tipper on 1, with this game taking on huge significance to see who will qualify and make the knockout stages in the Munster Championship. Throw-in is at 7 p.m. Stephen Gleeson here in Turles.
And the last one we have here, although I don't think we're going to hear much of it given our time frame here, but here's Eve Higgins speaking to Dara Smith-Nocton out of this or tomorrow's Six Nations clash with Scotland in the Aviva.
Delighted to be joined by Eve Higgins. Eve, how are things?
Yeah, good. It's cool sitting in this stadium, and hopefully the week of, you know, a record crowd that will be sitting here. So yeah, the butterflies are starting, I think, for the entire squad.
Tell me about that. Is it a sense of a little bit of nerves, but a little bit of excitement as well come this weekend?
I think the overarching feeling is excitement. We spoke as a team about, you know, a few years ago about, you know, being at this point playing in the Aviva, but we wanted to do it not in front of an empty stadium. We wanted to do it with a huge crowd around us, and it's looking like that with 28,000 plus tickets sold. So yeah, it's very much exciting, I think, because hopefully it's the first of many days here in the Aviva.
We're at the week of, obviously. Tell me what it means to you. You know, you mentioned the 28,000 plus and counting. What does the occasion mean to you now, sitting here?
overarching feeling is excitement. Like I think back of being, you know, a kid playing rugby and, you know, going to the men's game in the Aviva and it being a sold out stadium and it's been the norm of seeing Ireland playing the Aviva, and then, you know, either the previous day or the following day going to Ashburn or FC and seeing the women's play, and that was the norm. And you know, the feeling I have is, you know, I'm hoping that this will be the new norm for us. And but at the end of the day, you know, it's from our performances that we grow support. And
all right, unfortunately, that's all we have time for here on the Big Red Bench. Dan Casey signing off. Enjoy the Tipclare game if you're watching. Best luck to Munster tonight. So much sport happening today. But we'll be back next week with the Cork versus Clare preview. Hopefully a great occasion down in the park. Talk to you then.